We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What went on? Well, that's crazy to me.
I'm so jealous of that.
His memory is wow.
I'm so jealous of that. My memory is terrible. I don't even know what happened yesterday.
I can't remember my kid's name.
Joe DiMaggio. Back when they first started.
Joe DiMaggio. Like, he is awesome with that.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, it's time for top five at five. Number one, via Mark Berman on Twitter earlier today, who was monitoring the Astros workouts via a television set. Took video of it on his phone and shared it with all of us on Twitter. That's how, like, the media could cover the Astros workouts today because, you know, social distancing and everything.
Do what you got to do, man.
A lot of news from the Astros workouts. A number of people, the Astros could not specify who or how many, but I think the word was several people from the organization have tested positive for coronavirus. And it is not to be assumed, but this is just the news of the day. Yordan Alvarez was not present at the workouts today, according to James Click, the general manager, and Dusty Baker. They will be expecting Yordan Alvarez in the next few days. The reason was the question was asked why Alvarez was not present, and Baker said they could not disclose that according to agreements and the CBA and things like that. So not the CBA, but the agreements under this new coronavirus. And all the things that go along with that. So no Yordan Alvarez, but Lance McCullers had a really good day, according to James Click, which is a positive. And Justin Verlander, who is coming off of injury himself with the back and the neck situation, he was out there on the field doing JV things, according to James Click, and that's always a good thing.
No, for me, that's awesome. JV, awesome. McCullers, awesome news. I'm not even too worried about Yordan.
What about Greinke? I just thought of that right now.
He's ready to go.
Because
we don't hear nothing that's good.
Okay, now hold on. Hold on. Like, was he? I'm guessing he was there. I haven't seen footage of anything, but I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were asking me about Astros spring training, and I'm like, dude, legit, the last thing I remember about Astros spring training round one a few months ago was, you know, Jim Crane in front of a podium, you know, doing his version of an apology for the cheating scandal. But the last thing that I remember too is there was no Zach Greinke at training camp. Like, he hadn't shown up yet.
That's
right?
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, okay, well, when's Zach gonna show up? Like, when's your number two gonna be there? That's kind of a big deal. And that's how long it's been, and that's how long detached we've all been from sport. I don't remember if he actually ever showed up and if he was there today. Apparently it's like a routine thing, like Zach's going to show up when Zach's going to show up at training camp.
He's a different dude. I think we learned that a lot from the time that he's been here. He's a different type of dude, but as long as he is pitching well when his number is called, I'm okay with it.
I do worry about this whole thing, though. Like, but maybe it plays into what Zach Greinke likes. You know, Zach Greinke's not necessarily a people person. So the whole
not at all.
Social distance, stay 6 feet away thing.
Maybe it's perfect for him.
Maybe it's perfect for him.
Ideal.
I don't know.
This is the ideal world.
He might have been the first dude there today.
Social distance world forever. That's what he wants. Just keep everybody away from me.
I don't know. Like, yeah, you gotta have some fun with the anxiety stuff, man. All right, number two on the top five at five, Angel star Mike Trout, still not comfortable with playing. He said earlier today to reporters, quote, "Honestly, I still don't feel comfortable. Obviously, with the baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind and my family, just trying to be the safest and most cautious way to get through a season." Of course, Trout and his wife are expecting their baby boy just coming. I think it's a baby boy, coming in August.
Okay.
So, you know, that's big news for Major League Baseball, and it's going to be something I think important to follow, because not only has Mike Trout's name been mentioned, but I know for a fact Bryce Harper's name's been mentioned for maybe the same or a different reason as well, but thinking about opting out, and that's a big deal for Major League Baseball, which has already been going on, aside from this COVID stuff, a tumultuous 3.5 months.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike Trout's probably the most popular player in the game in MLB. Is that fair? So is this like, I'm trying to compare different sports, this would be like a possible LeBron James, James Harden saying, I'm not sure about playing.
Yeah,
this Giannis, would be like a Tom Steph. Brady, Tom Brady or a Lamar Jackson.
I would
saying,
say
hey,
Steph
I'm
Curry. Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. I was going to say Steph Curry too, but Steph Curry's on a team that's not very good this year, and he's on the team that's the other 8, not the 22. And so Steph Curry opting out, saying that I'm not going to play in this second bubble because it means nothing, is totally not the same thing as Mike Trout.
It's totally not at all.
Opting out.
Not at all. But that's what you can compare it to, right?
Yeah.
One of the best players in the game, most popular players in the game saying, boom, I'm not going to play. This is a big deal. So if I compare it to other sports, because I'm more familiar with the other sports, and if LeBron didn't play, if Giannis didn't play, if James Harden didn't play, if Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady said, hey, I'm sitting out.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
It's the same, but it's not the same because, you know, if that happened in those other sports, mm-hmm. like, oh, my God. I mean, that would be like stories 1, 2, and 3 on SportsCenter, like wall-to-wall stuff. Like, if Mike Trout makes the decision alone to not play, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Why?
I think it's, I mean, it's obviously covered and discussed, but I don't think it's like, oh, my God. If it becomes Trout, Harper, Chris Bryant,
yeah,
Aaron Judge, you know, like I'm talking about the stars of all the stars across the country and, you know, of all the major market teams. Like, yeah, that's a huge, huge deal for Major League Baseball, which is already going to be struggling to put butts in seats if there even will be the possibility of having butts in seats.
Speaking of butts in seats, do you like what the Oakland A's are doing? I think it's the Oakland A's with the cardboard people in the stands.
They started doing that in Korean baseball.
Are
and
you
I,
a fan of that?
Yes, because it looks hilarious. Like, I don't know how much fun they're having with this thing. Like, you ever watch PTI with Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon? You know, in the background of their set, they've got, like, all the famous people across sports and, like, goofy poses and stuff. Yep. Like, you know, they catch them at, like, weird, awkward times, and they put their photos back there. If they could take, like, celebrities or just even random people and mix them all together and just have, like, stupid faces in the crowd, that would be hilarious. Let's go to the crowd, Bob. You know,
that'd be
they pan over and there's like a picture of Ron Burgundy or something. I don't know.
Just, that'd be fun. That'd be
gotta,
a good time.
You got to keep it. You got to keep it fresh. So I think that would be kind of cool. Number 3 on the top 5 at 5 gets a little more serious for Major League Baseball. Here is now 31 players have tested positive for COVID in Major League Baseball's first round of testing, which took place on July 1st. I guess, you know, the 24 to 48 hour window has been up and the results came out today. That's the announcement that was made. 7 staff members also tested positive. So the 38 positive represent 1.2% of just over 3,000 samples collected. For comparison's sake, the NBA on June 26th reported a 5.3 rate of positive tests.
Wow.
That's 16 out of 302, so a much smaller sample size. But I guess per capita, I mean, that's a higher percentage. And in Major League Soccer announced the positive rate of 2.7. So, look, the risk is there. It's going to happen. It's how do you quell that as best you possibly can going forward now that teams are effectively in their bubble at team facilities. It's going to be an interesting follow. This thing cannot go off 100%, Cecil, without a hitch.
No, it can't. And I just told you, if any sport could have the best chance of not slowing it down, but have the least amount of players affected, I would think it would be baseball because of the positions of everybody on the field, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can't control what happens in the dugout. You can, actually. You can. But if anybody has a chance, it'll be baseball. This is the way I look at it. People are going to happen. People are going to catch the virus. It's just a matter of when it happens, controlling it, make sure they're doing everything they can to quarantine and get tested and make sure they're staying on top of it. Hopefully there's nothing, no crazy symptoms. And then when they get able to come back, they can come back.
Here's the thing I don't understand is
what's going to happen.
The Cleveland Indians announced that their outfielder, Delino DeShields Jr., was one of the players that tested positive for the virus. They announced that. However, Major League Baseball says they will not identify who tests positive for the coronavirus, citing privacy laws.
Oh, they should get fined.
So why the...
Indians should get in trouble. They should be fined.
I mean, ever since Rudy Gobert...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, happened... Like, yeah, there was like a few players that trickled out. It was like almost every other day, right? It was like, boom, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. This player, that player has tested positive. But you don't hear about it now. You know? And it is because of privacy laws. And I don't know that we necessarily need to hear about it. I wonder if the Cleveland Indians felt the only reason to announce that is because they said DeShields tested positive before coming to Cleveland. Like, hey, it didn't happen because of us. So we can make that announcement just kind of like to wash their hands and make sure that they're good to go.
But you can do that behind closed doors. You can do that behind like, hey, MLB, or write an email, send an email, call whoever need to call. But you can do that behind closed doors.
Yeah.
If the rule is you cannot put it out there, don't put it out there. Period.
Yep.
Period. They should be fine. They should have some, and I hate to say this, I'm from Cleveland, but they should have some harsh, in my opinion, because that's somebody's livelihood. They should have some harsh repercussions for that.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, I don't know how the Delino DeShields Jr., you know, factored into this whole thing.
True.
If he was cool with that, if he wanted that, I don't know. Maybe to protect his own organization. Who knows? Next up on top five at five. Look, the Denver Nuggets and the Brooklyn Nets have already had to shut down their practice facilities because of positive tests for COVID. Yesterday, the LA Clippers shut down their facility. Today, the Miami Heat are the latest NBA team to be forced to shut down their training facility after a second player there tested positive for the virus. So, again, just... I hate to be redundant because everything is this, but it's going to be an interesting follow as NBA training camps are inside of a week away from beginning in Orlando and that first bubble and the second bubble potentially in Chicago. Last up on the top five at five, David Njoku requesting a trade out of Cleveland. What do you think about this? Because a lot of people feel like with him and the Cleveland Browns, ain't going to be no thing because a lot of people aren't very impressed with him since being drafted in the first or second round in 2017.
First round, right? Late first round.
Guy's not too impressed with him up there anyway. It's almost like don't let the door hit you in the you know what. But I feel like it's almost unfair for any skill position player that was drafted and has played significant time in the last couple of years in Cleveland to be judged, you know, very harshly because of the different head coaches, the different coordinators, the different quarterback situations that they've had up there. I mean, there's been literally, that's again, just when you think it's going to be okay in Cleveland, it's not.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of unfair to judge this guy. I mean, he was obviously a supremely talented dude coming into the NFL. You think he deserves another shot, or could this be a blessing in disguise if he gets out of Cleveland?
Definitely deserves another shot. He's 6'4", 250-ish, can run. He does have some drops in his game, but he is somebody that can play the game at tight end. He is today's tight end, and when healthy, he can make plays. I think 2 years ago, he had about 600 yards, 700 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns. He does a good job when he's playing. But they just signed a big guy named Austin Hooper from Atlanta last year. We had a good year with the Falcons last year.
Yeah.
And he's going to be their number one guy. And they probably didn't.
Did he get big money?
He got big money. I think he got $40 million, something like that. They paid him a good amount. So I think he can be a contributor there with Cleveland. I think he's just frustrated because he wanted to be the guy. And last year with injuries, that can be a cause of it. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. He can definitely, if he gets traded or released, he can definitely go somewhere and help. You know what I mean?
I think he's
definitely young enough and very good potential to be a good ball player.
Maybe a more realistic option for the Texans as opposed to Antonio Brown. Somebody wanted to let Deshaun Watson know.
That's probably more realistic than Antonio Brown. Sorry,
he's a great
everybody.
Teammate.
He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you until 6. Look, I told you, as soon as baseball actually starts getting played, people are going to start back on trashing the Houston Astros. It took one Cincinnati Red pitcher to get the ball rolling. I'll tell you who that is on the other side. Stay there at Sports Radio 610. Welcome back, Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani in Cecil Shorts the third. Tyler Milner on the board producing. 713-572-4610. 572-4610. That's how you can get in. You can call or text. So I said Cincinnati Reds pitcher. Yeah, you probably forgot that dude even pitches for him. You probably remember the biggest Astro hater of all time as being a Cleveland Indian. Trevor Bauer, man. Day one of workouts. Dude is already all over them Strohs. I guess this was Twitter. Was this Twitter or like Instagram, Tyler? I don't know. It looks like a Twitter pic.
If I had to guess, yeah, it's probably Twitter. I saw it on Bleacher Report.
Bauer's custom-made Astro shirt. Reads, Houston cheated, Trash Town, 2017 champs, and you have to look kind of close. That's not a World Series trophy only that you see in the middle of a shirt. It's a trophy standing on top of a trash can, and it's him making hand gestures on Twitter at Bauer outage. So I told you, as soon as like baseball even remotely gets started again, the hate will come. It will become much less about the negotiation tactics or lack thereof between the MLBPA and Major League Baseball itself the last 3.5 months in that fiasco, and more about the scandal again.
But with the New York Yankees, whatever this came out with them.
We need somebody from H-Town to lead the charge on this.
You don't know Yankees the facts?
Coming out and then everything you gotta that's happened with them.
Yeah.
Right? Is it still only about the Astros, or now can you open it up with the Red Sox and the Yankees?
I mean, the Red Sox are the Red Sox. Like, it is what it is. Like, it's more about the Yankees at this point. But the problem is that it's almost like every all the shreds of evidence are like you're tied up in court. Like, it's that document that, has all the juice to it.
Yeah.
Has not been released.
And they better hope. The Yankees better hope and pray, man, that letter doesn't get released and that it doesn't contain some craziness in it. Because the way they were talking, Aaron Judge coming out, putting the Astros on blast.
Here's the thing, though, that sucks. Tyler, you're right. It's a really good point. I know where you're going with that. The fact that, the Red Sox and Yankees Apple Watch thing happened in 2017. It was the Red Sox and the Astros Apple Watch thing, right? The Astros were peering into their dugout, but it's because they thought they were cheating and they were trying not to be cheated upon and all this stuff. And also because the Astros won the World Series and then after the fact found out to have cheated during that season in season prior. It's all gotten watered down. Like the Astros have taken the brunt of it. So the problem is with this Yankees thing is there's evidence allegedly, but it's not going to be released yet. It's tied up in court, and so that's not good enough for people to latch onto anything. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to have something they can, like, touch and feel and, roll with. They got all that with the Astros.
Oh, yeah. They got everything. Everything came out.
And you got Hinch, you got Luna, you got Cora, you got Beltran, you've got, Bauer leading the charge, on all of these guys, and now it's like, see, we told you so. Everybody was doing it from the Astros. That's how everybody's kind of looking at this thing. It hasn't necessarily run its course, man. I said even months ago, like, it was just beginning, and then COVID hit. Like, it's going to continue. It's always going to be there.
Now, go ahead.
I feel like the Astros, too, the way they handle the whole situation, they have to know. Some of those guys got to know that this was going on other teams like that or something similar. I feel like they wouldn't have treated a lot of this the way they did if they didn't know that Yankees or others were doing it.
They do. They wouldn't have taken it to the heights. Beltran wouldn't have brought the new wave of cheating to the Astros if not for his knowledge of everyone else doing it or, other prominent teams that could potentially stand in the way of doing it. But nobody wants to hear about that, and it doesn't do the Astros any good, really. That's why I say a lot of this tongue-in-cheek, like, somebody from Houston needs to lead the charge against the Yankees. It's like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
And I'll do it gladly. Don't get me wrong, dude. I'm telling you, I've been fired up about this since the beginning. I can't stand the Yankees, and this just makes it worse.
But it doesn't do anything. I mean, nobody's to benefit from anything because the last thing anybody wants to do is have a proven cheater point the finger the other way and say, ha-ha, I told you so, they were doing it too. It's like, it is what it is, like, you felt the brunt of it. You're going to continue to feel it. And if everybody else, gets in trouble too, like, dude, baseball's got its own stuff to clean up with. Like, if they're behind hiding this Yankees thing, like I think a lot of people want to believe, and like it looks right now, perceptionally, that's going to be a gigantic mess. But I don't know that we'll really ever find out to what extent Major League Baseball was behind covering up the Yankees. I mean, that would be huge. Robert Manfred would be out of a job. A lot of people in Major League Baseball would be out of a job.
There's no doubt about it, in my opinion, right? Because when I think of what we talked about with the Patriots, how they can pretty much do whatever. They'll get a slap on the hand or wrist here, or they might get fined or whatever the case may be, but it's okay if they do it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the Yankees. They're going to protect, because if this comes out true about what the Yankees are doing and everything that the evidence has in court, per se, right, comes out, this could possibly ruin baseball even more of the – give them more of problems up front. So why would baseball want that to come out? Plus, they're the New York Yankees. When you think of baseball, no offense to anybody, you think of the Yankees. That's what I think of. When I think of baseball, I think of the Yankees.
Nah, you're right. I mean,
so why would they want to put any more pressure or any more disgust, any more scandal to baseball? They're going to hide this. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't hear about this for a long
time. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I almost believe that people are comfortable with, they've accepted the fact that baseball's crooked. To what extent, like, it's like, meh. Yeah, we know. Like, what else? What else could you tell us, you know, that we don't know? It's like, okay, spare us the details. We know you guys are crooked to some degree. And it sucks for, like, I get crapped on all the time because of the traditionalist or the purist, whatever you want to call me, that I am about baseball. I've had to come around on a lot of things. Like, I've had to come around on steroid players, you know, being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, that's probably already happened. And it probably will happen officially.
You were against it?
Yeah.
Really?
And I might still be against. I don't know how to feel about this because, I don't know, like, I guess I'm just an old soul. You know, I grew up with my grandfather having played 18 years of Major League Baseball, his brother playing 18 years of Major League Baseball.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of everything that you were told and you believed in the game about how it was played back then, you know, that's kind of how I viewed what I was watching whenever I was a kid in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. And when you start being in this business and people start telling you things that are not made public yet about people and teams cheating and how they're doing it well before the fact that it comes out in this Astros case, man, that makes you feel so small and so ignorant and naive as a sports fan. And that's kind of what I've been resigned to. I knew about this Astros cheating thing months and months before it broke. I just didn't want to believe it. And then when it came out, it's like, damn, it's true, you know, and that stinks. And so I can only imagine what like actual kids feel like, you know, like they're heroes. Like when Hulk Hogan, you know, got busted for steroids when I was a little kid, I was probably like, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old. Like I was heartbroken. I probably cried reading that in the front page of the sports page. You know, I was like, dang, you know, stuff like that. When I walked into a private conversation and I heard one of my favorite Astros of all time took steroids, and another former Astro, a teammate of his, is the one that said that, I was heartbroken, you know? And so, like, you hear things, and you're made privy to things that you just don't want to know about. And I think if you're a fan, and even if you're in the media, you put blinders on purposefully because you still want to believe what, you know, you've been kind of raised to believe, what you grew up on in sports. There's always that fantasy, that romantic part of sports that you want to hold on to. And even though these things might be true, you want to turn a blind eye to it.
Will this ever go away? Like, will this time period where they're bashing the
It'll
Astros,
be accepted.
When will this go away?
It'll be accepted. It'll never go away. It'll be accepted.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a part of history now. It is what it is.
So when you think of the Astros, because when I think of Pete Rose, I think of gambling.
Yeah.
Right? So when you think of the Astros, you're saying people are going to
think of a lot of things when I think of Pete Rose. Gambling's one of them, certainly. I think of a lot of things.
So when you think of the Astros, is what's going to come up is always they cheated.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. I mean, it's a part of it. It's a part of it. And it's a damn shame, too, because there were a lot of really good, smart people in the media that I know and respect that And I felt the same way with. I agreed. You know, when they said Jeff Luhnow was maybe the best GM in baseball history, you know, because of what he did with an organization that had never been done before in its current state, in this era, and built it from the ground up after tearing it down to the bones and making a world champion. Well, yeah, he had a little help, you know. It just takes away from it. It's always going to be there. It's going to be a black guy. Look, baseball's got a black guy. It's had a lot of black guys. Baseball's been beat up more than little Timmy on the schoolyard. And, you know, they've been taken for more than, you know, their $5 plenty of times. Okay? And the Astros are one of those teams now that have been, you know, beat up and bruised and had a couple black guys. They'll get over it because baseball's gotten over it.
Mm.
But baseball, kind of like, you know, I believe like politicians have to, you know, it's not about fooling you all over again every single year. Hey, look, you get kind of brainwashed with a lot of this stuff.
Fake news.
It's about fooling generation after generation after generation because you don't remember a whole lot of stuff that happened when you were in your 20s. Now that you're in your 50s and the same guy's still in office and you're wondering how.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you get kind of fooled over and over again. Well, baseball, they, you know, find a way to rebound. They maybe sometimes use scandal to amend another scandal. Steroids versus the strike, you know, a juiced ball over steroids, cheating over a juiced ball. Like, it's always something. Criminals always ahead of the cops, you know. Yeah. That's the best way I know how to put it. And it's just kind of like, I accept it. It sucks because it takes away just that much more of like what you want to believe in and appreciate in sports. So it is what it is. Final segment coming up next already in this 5-hour marathon. Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani, Tyler Milner producing. Coming up next, what Texan needs to have the biggest offseason and will get Cecil's top 10 or not? Coming up next at Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610, welcome you back. Sean Bajani and former Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III with you. So we'll be on together three times next week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yep.
From 6 until 10 in the morning. So hope you're going to join us then. In the meantime, appreciate you joining us today. And I want to wish you a happy 4th of July weekend. Before we forget, hope you guys eat what you want, when you want, and how you want to do it tomorrow as best you possibly can. The best thing about 4th of July is that, look, when you do things, it's generally with the family. Hopefully, guys, you've been able to spend a lot of time with family despite, you know, the social distancing and having to quarantine and things like that. Hopefully, you guys get opportunity to spend some family time together tomorrow. I know I will. I don't know if we'll be doing fireworks or anything like that. Are you guys fireworks? Do y'all do those?
No.
Can you do any in your neighborhood?
No. Number one, I would never let my kids do fireworks by themselves.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just not with that. I don't do fireworks. Now we'll go to a fireworks show.
I'm gonna be the same
it.
Way because when I was a kid but and I did fireworks that. By myself, we had Roman candle fights and shot each other with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, like
sometimes that didn't turn out so well.
I agree. Like, I grew up doing stupid stuff or seeing people do stupid stuff, and I've seen hands blown off and seen people get hurt. I'm like, no, my kids won't be able to do that. So if they are mad at me for that, so be it. Whatever. But we'll go see a fireworks show. Now, tomorrow will we go? Probably not, because my triplets, they don't like loud noises. So we might split up. My wife might take them, or I might take them to drive somewhere and watch them. But we do enjoy. The older kids do enjoy.
I was a little worried about that last night because people were already firing him off
in
my neighborhood last night with my 2-month-old. But the thing is I don't know that he knows really what's going on anyway. He lives with me, and I make weird, obnoxious, loud noises all the time around the house. So I think he's probably used to being startled.
So he'd probably be all right. He'll probably be all right.
I'm a big goofball when I'm home. So, like, you know, that should kind of explain that. So you asked this question, and I want to hear what your thoughts are on what Texan in particular were you thinking of that needs to have the biggest offseason for them ahead of the 2020 season.
Well, I was looking at an article of Kiki QT. And it was talking about, it was an article written by the Houston Chronicle.
Aaron Wilson.
Aaron Wilson, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was struggling to remember his name. Shout out to Aaron, he's a good guy.
Me and Aaron Wilson put a lot of things together.
That's not bad.
Got a lot of new good ideas are coming up in the Chronicle. And you should check us out, cron.com.
That's not bad.
I've been working on it.
So I'm
talking a lot, so I've lost my voice. So I kind of sound like him anyway.
So reading the article, and it talks about how Kiki really is grinding this offseason. He's finding ways to work out with different people. getting in contact with different guys, just trying to be the best receiver he could be and be the guy that he can be for this offense. Now, you asked me a question, who do I think needs the best? What's the question again?
Who needs to have the best offseason for the Texans?
Who needs to have the best offseason for the Texans?
Yeah.
To me, it has to be one of the pass rushers. Now, if you ask me.
Ooh, that's a good one because that's an area of the game that they were towards the bottom of the league in almost every category.
Absolutely. So if it's Jacob Martin, if it's one of the other guys, we need another pass rusher in the fold. So
Martin, Minnehue. I mean, look, let's not forget about Merciless.
Why? We need those guys to stay healthy. And then there's one more guy that we drafted in round five, I think 2 years ago. He missed last year.
Oh, Lordy.
For the Achilles injury. It's been a long couple days for me before here. I can't remember his name. But anyways, we'll need a defensive lineman to step up and be another pass rusher.
We've
got to put some more pressure on the quarterback to take the pressure off of the defensive backs, if that makes sense. So if you ask me for the Texans, who needs to have the best offseason? The defensive line room, period.
Yeah.
Now, this particular article talks about Kiki and how he's grinding. I think he personally needs to have a good offseason to actually make the team. Because right now you have your top four receivers. You are set in Steels and Cooks and Cobb and in Will Fuller.
Yeah.
You are set. Now it's about who's going to be the fifth. Do you keep five or do you keep six? If you keep five, you need one guy to be able to return punts and kicks possibly. Or you need that. As a matter of fact, I say that, but you drafted a guy in the fifth or sixth round this year who is a guy that can run down on kickoffs, who is a guy that has a future, who is a guy that can make some plays and learn from the older guys there. And you don't draft a guy like that if you don't see potential in him.
Right.
Kind of raw right now, but good size, can catch the ball well. He can learn from those big four. So if you keep five, I think Kiki might be out the mix. But if you keep six, he might be there. But he has to have a great offseason to make this team. It's going to be tough because we mentioned it. There's no OTAs. There's no mini camps. There's no nothing. The coaches don't have eyes on you. It's easy for a coach to like you, to fall back in love with you, or to get back in the coach's good graces when they can see you every day. But when they don't see you every day, that's where it comes up. This training camp is going to be so critical for so many guys, but especially Kiki.
Yeah, Kiki's the guy. Because, I mean, look, he was in the doghouse all last year.
We don't even know why.
Do we know why? No. Absolutely not. But it's not my job. Look, he was a difference maker. Was he the difference maker? Probably not. But was he a difference maker? Could he have been rather than? Yes, absolutely. Like, that's just another weapon for Deshaun Watson. And in a receiving core like you have now with all the guys you mentioned, I mean, it sounds and it looks pretty good, even without DeAndre Hopkins in the fold with Stills and Fuller, Cooks I mentioned, but Randall Cobb as well. Like, yeah, those dudes have something to prove, especially if you're Randall Cobb. And Will Fuller, two for very different reasons. We know Will Fuller can put up numbers, but can he stay healthy?
Facts.
Can Randall Cobb do both?
Yes.
Can he stay healthy, but can he be the receiver that he's supposed to have been?
Yeah.
And does Deshaun Watson make him better?
Yeah.
If he takes the next step this year, he will. That's going to answer itself. Well, by the way, was Duke Ejiofor the guy you were thinking of?
Duke Ejiofor. Thank you.
Okay.
Golly.
Yeah, sixth round pick in 2018.
Yes. I couldn't think. Wake Forest, Vanderbilt?
Wake Forest? I'm Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, sure. I think it was I'm pretty sure it was a black and gold school. But you know what? One thing that's scary for Kiki is Duke Johnson. Because if they use Wake Forest. Perfect. I was right. If they use Duke the way I think they're going to use him and put him in the slot a lot more this year, or with the way they can use him, he's an option, right?
Yeah.
He's basically a slot receiver at times. If you put him in a slot, he can run any route, he can catch the ball well. So basically, if he doesn't have a good offseason, guess what? Duke's going to be that guy there anyways, right?
Yeah.
They have – it's depth everywhere. So Kiki has to, have a really, really, really good offseason.
I mentioned this to you off air earlier. It's like, you know, a lot of the guys at Texans draft, you know, I feel like we don't get a chance to see them come to fruition because it's, I feel like it's one thing or the other, right? It's injury gets them or they play a same position as another really good player and they just don't get a lot of playing time. I feel like Duke Ejiofor is kind of falling in both of those categories because, look, he did experience a little injury, but when he was out there, man, and he got opportunities, he flashed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Zach Cunningham. Whenever he first became a Texan, like you saw a little bit of him, and you were like, yeah, he looks pretty good. But, you know, we need to see more in this area. We need to see more in that area. I think that's another guy probably needs to have a really good offseason. and ramp it up, because that dude, I feel like that dude could be special. I feel like Zach Cunningham could really be special. I would even say, like, I feel like you could go through the whole damn defensive front seven. I don't know that everybody besides J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus at one point in time or another has really reached their full potential yet. So especially for the likes of, you know, Whitney, not Whitney Mercilus, but Bernard McKinney and Zach Cunningham in particular, those are two guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing. And they have to have big years this year if the Texans are going to be better on the pass rush front.
Going back to what Duke Ejiofor, you was talking about him, it's a great point, because they just drafted a defensive lineman, a pass rusher. In that plays particularly like Duke Ejiofor. So he's going to have to step up this offseason, make some plays in the limited time that he gets in the preseason game, or I don't know how much time he'll play, but in practice, in whatever the case may be, he has to show up. It's going to be a lot of competition, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because when you're in competition, the cream will always rise to the crop. And if you're a part of that crop, if you're part of that, if you are a competitor, you'll rise with it, if that makes sense.
You're talking about Jonathan Grenard, who they just drafted? Okay.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, third-round pick. And, I mean, I like this problem. I mean, when you're talking about guys like Mercilus and Cunningham and McKinney and Scarlett and Martin and, you know, look, Peter Kalambayi's found a way to, you know, kind of stick around.
Peter,
and Dylan Cole, who I think everybody loves just because of the way he plays the game with, you know, that reckless abandon. And you throw Jonathan Grenard into the mix as well with Duke Ejiofor. They got a lot of dudes, man, and I like it. I like it. I feel pretty good about them, but, you know, look, the pass rush, that was definitely a weak link last year.
Got to improve. Somebody got to step up, and the two big heads, meaning the two, I call them big heads, I don't know why I said that, the two big names, excuse me, and J.J. and Mercilus, who are getting paid, need to continue to be who they are, right, and stay healthy. If they stay healthy, we'll be fine. But when you bring the other guys in the fold, when you can mix it and bring in fresh legs, that would be huge.
So you had this idea last night of listing the Texans' top 10 best players.
Yes.
You threw this in the rundown. I saw it late last night, and I'm like, this is the last thing I'm going to do before I go to bed. I don't really feel like looking at the roster or anything. So I just kind of, you know, spouted off some names off the top of my head. But I did look at your list beforehand, and you said, I'm going to name the top 10 best players in 2020 on the Texans. And your list stopped at two. And I'm thinking to myself, like, damn, Cecil, you ain't giving me nothing to go off on. It was like, I wasn't going to, like, pull the roster up, because I wanted to test myself to see if I could remember who they were. But then I started thinking to myself, was like, well, damn, is this like Cecil's way of saying, like, they don't really have a top 10. They can't form a top 10. They're just not that good right now. He just gave me two.
Numero dos.
He just gave me two. And so I put number three in there, and I'm like, dude, WTF, man. Come on, give me something. But you're number one. Were you thinking particular order, by the way?
Yes, that's where I struggled. Okay. I was trying to find the order, right? So I did the first two. I'm like, I got sleepy. I'm going to go to sleep. So I'm like, okay. I was trying to think of a particular order. I had a good amount of guys in my head. And some guys people may not agree with. They probably won't after we get to them. But I just couldn't think of an order to put the guys in. So I only got the two. I put D. Watson first and then Tunsil second.
I think we've got the 10 here. Like, maybe I'm wrong on a couple. But, like, you've got the same two that I've got my two at. Like, they were the first guys that I thought of. Because who's the most important player on this team? Deshaun Watson.
Easy.
Well, who's the second most important player on this team? Probably a lot of people naturally want to go to the opposite side of the ball, where you get your first on offense and you get your second on defense, and they're probably thinking like J.J. Watt. Mm-hmm. No. Who is responsible for keeping the best player on the team upright
protected.
And healthy?
Yes,
protected.
Absolutely.
It's Laremy Tunsil. So, like, there's your one and two. Easy, right? So we weren't going to power rank these guys, I didn't think, but, like, let's try to go ahead and do so. So we'll go Watson, Tunsil, and in your number three, I put mine in no particular order. But if I'm going to go number three, I'll have to go J.J. Watt.
Sometimes you got to man up and clap them cheeks.
Yeah. Oh, that was okay. Number three, I'll go Watt. If he's healthy, he is who he is. He's going to get you double-digit sacks. He's
so, yeah, like, impact. Just why Watt? Field. Because of exactly what you just said, and because... Look, I don't know. I really don't know necessarily who, if he's like the vocal leader per se, but I know he's got tenure. I know he commands respect from everybody. Yep. I know he's the consummate professional in the building. So for all of those reasons, on top of what you said, if he stays healthy, he's going to amass numbers.
Yep.
That's it. And just behind that, because he's another guy that kind of falls in line to a lot of those similar characteristics and traits. I mean, it's Whitney Mercilus on the same side of the ball on defense.
I would go somewhere else with this. I would go Will Fuller. I think Fuller, and as we know, like you just mentioned, he can put up numbers, got to keep him on the field. But I think he is so important to this offense. If you look at the offense now, you got Cooks on one side, Fuller on the other side, Steals, and even Cobb can still run a little bit. But all these guys were known for their running ability, going down the field, taking the top off the defense. And if you look at Watson, what's his best ability? Throwing the deep ball. So now you got four chances to put the ball down the field. If Fuller can stay healthy, we will see lights out statistics from him and lights out production. So for me, I would put him for our 2020 best players at number four.
I won't even say, like, Fuller didn't even need to play 16 games for me.
You know,
like, these are all subjective. So, like, when people talk about, like, well, he just needs to play 13, you know, it's like, okay, well, so what if he plays 13, but he tears his ACL?
No!
Like, what do you mean?
No!
Knock on wood, please.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hate it when people say that. I'm just saying, like, you know, I need him to play, like, 13 games. But, like, the three games that you miss, it needs to be more or less, like, precautionary. Like, you know, you're just not feeling 100% game day, and it's like he's a game-time decision, and he just can't ramp up his hammy. You know, and he's going to take advantage of the bye week and get some extra rest. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Nothing too serious.
Yeah, don't just tell me dude needs to play 13, but, you know, he's going to be missing his left leg, you know, for the last three games of the season. Like, get out of here. So, all right, so we got Watson, Tunsil, Watt, and Mercilus. There's your four dude. No, Watson, Tunsil, Watt, you said Fuller, four.
Yep.
You go Mercilus? Is Mercilus in the top 10, right?
Oh, yeah, Mercilus in the top 10.
Okay, is he ahead of
he's Justin? Lower, though.
Lower?
Yeah, he's like 9 or 8 in my list.
Who's the next defensive player you have on this list?
Reed.
Okay. So would you have Reed at 5? Justin Reed at 5?
I'll go Reed at 5, and I'll probably go Cunningham at 6.
Okay.
Over McKinney. I just think Cunningham brings so much more. He can check different running backs out the backfield.
He flies all over the field. So,
he is everywhere. So I think him will be a step above McKinney.
Okay, so Cunningham above McKinney.
Yeah.
Where do you slot McKinney?
I'll go McKinney. I'll go Cooks at, who I say was 5, Cunningham?
Yep.
So I go Cooks at 6, and then McKinney probably 7, right above Mercilus.
Yeah.
Right above.
See, Mercilus. Cooks, man, he's a guy, I think, he's one of those dudes like you took for granted when you were watching the Rams.
No,
play.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Maybe took for granted is like too strong, but like you knew he was really good, but I don't know if he was a guy that like you could have said at the time, given the way that the roster was then constructed with DeAndre Hopkins and those guys, if you said, yeah, he fits here.
Mm.
Yeah, or now, if like, I feel like his detractors are like, you know, he's really good, but well, is he a fit here? Does his body type work? How the Texans want to play him? Like, man, we got all these tiny dudes in Fuller and in Cooks and, you know, Kiki QT. It's like, man, we need some muscle up there. We need a guy that we can just throw the ball to that can go get it. Oh, yeah, we had that dude, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh.
I feel like, you know, that's kind of like where we're at. But I almost tend to believe that, I mean, if the Kansas City Chiefs are like your Swiss Army knife, like the best of the best, like, you know, the Texans, they got the off-brand, you know? Like, they got the knife that does the same thing. It might not be, like, the most durable piece of metal or steel, you know what I'm saying? But it works. Could work.
Cooks is going to have a really good year. Like, he's going to explode back on the scene this year. Before last year, he was dominant.
Is he a guy that's had health issues prior in the past? I don't know.
No. He's only missed short amount of games in his career. But he is somebody, he has concussion issues.
All right, I don't know.
But he's
No,
he's
you're been, right. Yeah, he played 10 games his rookie year, but he's been 16 and missed 2 games last year.
Yeah, so he's been fairly healthy. He's going to have a big year, man. I'm excited about him. He is somebody that I think if you're in a fantasy football league, you need to pick him up.
Yeah.
I just think he's going to have an explosion type of year. That's the type of player he is. He's a big play type of guy.
I like that. David Johnson would round out my top 10. And you're like, hold on, dude. The guy hadn't even played a snap for the Houston Texans yet. Well, guess what? Brandon Cooks hadn't either. Okay.
True.
But you know Brandon Cooks is freaking good as hell. David Johnson, you know, had that one year, that one time.
That one time a few, 5-6 years ago.
But he just so happens to be like the fourth highest paid running back in the entire league this season.
Crazy. 12.3 or something.
I don't know the number. It's stupid. Like, I just think like he's got to be, if you're going to go get him for what you gave up and you're going to pay that dude what you're paying him, like he's got to be a top 10 player on your team. Like not a top 10 dude on your offense. Like that'd be pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
But he's got to be a baller. And look, if Duke Johnson is healthy and he can run the rock, man, the Johnson and Johnson backfield, that's pretty sweet already in itself, obviously because of the name. But if David Johnson can kind of, you know, have a blast from the past this season, that would be huge.
Yeah.
It stinks a little bit because I'm thinking the way that everything has transpired, we're planning on this season to go off without a hitch pretty much, right? Regular season games anyway, but just kind of judging by the way that things have gone with Major League Baseball, and it's been, you know, union related a little bit there. The same thing with the NBA, more safety and trying to like figure things out. If there was a professional league that has gotten it right, it's probably been the NBA outside of the second bubble idea. It's terrible. But you've got a whole bunch of dudes now on this Texans team.
Yeah.
It's just, you've got to figure out a way to put all of these things together and create chemistry with a new DC, a new OC, the same head coach who says he's going to be in a little bit of a different role, and we think that's going to be better, and we hope it's going to be better. And you got a whole bunch of dudes, even though we're still sad and mad about losing DeAndre Hopkins. Like, it has to happen this year, seriously. You know, like the year in which the Patriots should not be like your version of the Golden State Warriors and standing in your way.
True.
The year in which like this division should be yours. Like, I know everybody's thinking in the back of their mind, like, yeah, this whole thing in the Tennessee Titans is going to flop. They just gave Ryan Tannehill a bleep ton of money, but he sucks and he's going to fall back to reality. This is the Texans' year and they're going to do it. Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. Please, no way.
At least I hope not. I tell you what, to round up my top 10 before we got to close or end the show, and it's been the fast 5 hours, but it's been cool. John Weeks, man.
Said nobody ever, but it was today. It's been a fast 5 hours.
It's been a fast five.
But it was fun today.
It's like the movie. John Weeks, my top 10. Put him in there. John. Weeks, Mr. Consistent, Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl. When's the last time you've seen a messed up snap from John Weeks? It's never been John Weeks' fault. He's going to do awesome this year. I'm calling it number 10 on
tough,
my list.
Smart, dependable guys.
The Texans would not have won that AFC
there
title game if not for that one snap in the third quarter.
Mr. Consistency.
By John Weeks.
Come on. Come on.
That set anger up perfect for a 55-yard punt.
Come on, man. Mr. Consistency. Yeah. 2 or 3 Pro Bowls, top 10. Let's go.
I want to hear like the highlight from Mark Vandermeer, like, Jonathan Weeks with the snap. Yes!
Shout out to Weeksy. He does listen to the shit.
Rock and roll.
Holy smokes. Good stuff. You and I thought you were joking, but now I know you weren't joking. You were considering a special teamer in the show.
I was considering a special teamer. It was going to be somebody. Somebody had to make the list.
Hey, well, good stuff, Cecil, man. I'll see you next week. We'll do it up.
Happy 4th.
Monday, Thursday, and Friday, 6 until 10 in the morning. You can catch Cecil Shorts the 3rd and me, Sean Bajani, right here on Sports Radio 16. Had a lot of fun the last couple of days. Hope you guys did as well. Enjoy a great 4th of July weekend, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Hell no. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.